Good evening. Welcome to letter number 10. Third of the way through our 30 letters in 30 days journey. Tonight's shiur and the merit that we accrue from the Limud HaTorah BeRabim, from learning together as a worldwide group all over, literally all over the globe. All of that should be ischus le'ilui nishmas, for the ascent of the soul of a young shliach, a baby of only 2 months old, who recently passed away just this month on Yud Adar. David Menachem Mendel, Ben Yibodol L'chaim Tevim Aruchim, Rav Zev Udveraleya Nedich. And very soon, all of the mitzvahs that we're all doing collectively should bring about the tipping point of the coming of Mashiach, and his family should be reunited with him here in this physical world. Last night, we read a letter that the Rebbe wrote to a mother. And I commented that it is something that you really have to marvel at, how the leader of world Jewry is taking time to write a long letter to a mother about not a life and death, thank God, not a life and death issue, but just something about finicky eaters, kids who don't like what they're being served, and which foods should we serve them. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe is getting involved and writing a lengthy response. And I marveled, and I said, it's just something we really need to stop and pause to appreciate. So today we received an email from one of our viewers, somebody who is participating in the 30 letters in 30 days, Mrs. Esti Ben Shimon, who said, that was my mother who wrote that. Mrs. Rivka Zeitlin, Zalanga Yorin of Montreal, an active leader in the Jewish women's community in Sheikh Chabad, many activities in Montreal. May she be very healthy and well, and continue to have much Yiddish Chassidish Nachas from her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I'm not sure if she's up to the great-greats yet, but for sure to the great-grandchildren. And that was her letter, Mrs. Rivka Zeitlin. The story is, actually, that she, her husband, Reb Heschel Zeitlin, Olav HaShalom, was a shoychet. And as a shoychet, you know, if you know the business, so you get even more scrupulous. So as an insider, he was even more careful about kashrus than even other chassidim. He did not eat at simchas. He was very, very careful. So there was, I found out what the food was. And it's so remarkable, by the way. We're reading these letters, and it seems like history. It's not history. These are people who I just found out today what the food was. It was salami. And the salami was glatt kosher, okay? And everyone was eating the glatt kosher salami. It was Reb Heschel's thing that his special chumrah, because he was a shoychet and he had an extra sensitivity about shechita, so he didn't eat that and he didn't want his family eating it, okay? See, yesterday in the letter where the Reb was talking about levels, that being even more muhudr is has value to it. It's not just kosher or not kosher, that even in levels of kashrus there's an objective advantage to doing things even on a higher level of scrupulousness. And that was the case, that it was Reb Heschel's special chumrah to not want to consume that salami or to have his children consume it. And basically, he said to his wife, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit crazy here. Maybe it's, you know, plenty of good, God-fearing Jews are eating this salami. Do I have to be so frum and not allow our children to eat it when, you know, it seems like maybe they would like it? And it was specifically, by the way, for their eldest daughter, for Shterna Sara, now Olava Shalom, Aleha Shalom, from Shterna Sara Kalmanson from Cincinnati. And the fact that her mother wrote for her this letter, and we're all reading this letter, this should also, this learning should be a merit for her as well. It's just an incredible thing. So she was more of the finicky eater, and so her mother was thinking maybe to eat the salami, to serve the salami to little Shterna Sara. And so her father was saying, you know, maybe I don't have to be so meticulous. Maybe I'm standing in the way of my children eating something that they would enjoy. So at any rate, so what did Mrs. Zeitlin do? She did what a mother has to do. She wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and she said, look, you know, this food is kosher, but it's not our standard. We wouldn't normally eat it. And the Rebbe answered and said, keep to your standards. And actually, I was told that later on, many years later, there was a discussion in the family about Pesach kashrus, about certain, you know, Pesach's coming, not to scare you, that a discussion about whether children have to keep the same hidurim regarding Pesach. And so Rabbi Zeitlin reminded his adult children, who were at this point parents themselves, and said, hey, remember the letter that the Rebbe wrote to your mother, that even with children, we try to do everything in the most scrupulous, meticulous way. So that's a real letter. That's a real family. Those are real people. This is all very, very real. This is, we're not reading legends over here. This is real life. Okay, so let's go to today's letter. And maybe we'll find out who this was to. Maybe tomorrow someone will say, hey, letter number 10 was to my relative, or to me, maybe even. Okay. Baruch Hashem Yud Aleph Tevis Tavshin Yud Tes Brooklyn Bracha V'Shalom. So again, this letter is to a woman. And similar to the previous letter that we read, which was to a woman, it's in Yiddish. And I mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, that it was not uncommon when the Rebbe would write to women to write in Yiddish, because that was the language, at least at that time, that many women were more comfortable corresponding in. So, you know, remember the first letter that we read in the whole series, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the letter to Neshei Chabad. So that letter was to not just a woman, but to many women. It was in Yiddish. Okay, so here's a letter in Yiddish. In Entfer of Ayabrif von 1213, which means like the dates, you know how you do like numbers for dates, December 13th. I'm assuming it's month then day and not day then month, because I don't know what the 13th month would be. So I'm assuming it's December 13th. So an answer to your letter from December 13th. I guess that's how the person dated it. So the Rebbe was using the date that the person used. I'm dealing with stuff live right here as I'm trying to give this year. I'm negotiating a deal for you guys right now. I'm trying to see that the actual facsimile, the photograph of the letter to the mother last night, I have a picture of it on my WhatsApp, and I want it to get posted publicly. I'm trying to arrange that for you right now. That's why I'm being rude and texting in the middle of this year. Okay. So an answer to your letter from December 13th. We'll see. Maybe by the end of the class, I'll have negotiated that deal. In welchen ihr beschreibt die verschiedene Umständen, in which you write about the various different challenges, problems, was ihr und euer Mann, that you and your husband, Shiri, may you be well, seinen durchgegangen, that you went through, und macht das Hakel, and then you make a conclusion. Okay, basically you write about your life and all the trials and tribulations that you and your husband have been through. And then after you write this narrative, you sum it all up with a conclusion. As es ist ständig gewesen, nicht gut. It always was not good. Und jetzt euch nicht gut, vuchulu. And now is also not good. Und von dem is verständlich, and from that is understood. You could extrapolate. Ihr Ausguck auf der Zukunft. Your view or your perspective on the future. In other words, here's my life. Here's the problems we had. In the past, it hasn't been good. Right now in the present, it is not good. And therefore, I'm coming to a conclusion that probably the direction we're heading is also not good. Now, my friends, you tell me. Somebody writes to the Lubavitcher Rebbe to prove to the Lubavitcher Rebbe that they do not have a good life. They've never had a good life. And if everything continues the way it's been going, they're going to have, in the future, not a good life. You tell me, first of all, what do you think the Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to respond? Yes, I know compassion and I know validation. We know that. We know that. We know that. There's going to be love. There's going to be empathy. We know that. But do you think that Rebbe is going to let the person get away with... Do you think that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to let them get away with the prognosis that they are doomed to have a bad life in the future? Do you think the Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to even let them get away with the, in retrospect, calling their past experiences a bad life? Or do you think that Rebbe is going to figure out a way to open up a new perspective so that not only this person will be able to see how the future has potential, but even the past that they were looking at with a bad eye, maybe even the past was not so bad after all. And by the way, I'm not sure which is more difficult to pull off. To convince somebody that things are going to change and be different in the future, I think might even be easier than to convince somebody that the past that they experienced and they lived through and they already have their narrative and they already have their interpretation of events, to convince them that it's not all doom and gloom the way that you've been looking at it, I think is even harder. But let's see what happens. I don't know. I do know because I read the letter. Obviously, I prepare these before I give the shiur. But even if I hadn't read the letter, I would have known by now, knowing my Rebbe, that he's not going to let this slide. He's not going to let this negativity slide. Let's find out. Okay. Es wundert mir. It perplexes me. Oh, I think it just happened. Did it happen? Yes. On the 30 letters updates, the letter from last night, the photograph of the letter was just posted. Wonderful. That's so nice. And how can people join the WhatsApp? Can I get information so I can tell people here during this year? Sorry, we're doing business in the middle of the class, but this is the nature of live television. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Es wundert mir. It puzzles me. I'm perplexed, the Rebbe says.
Eir oisfir tsuazasa hakoil. How did you reach such a conclusion? Like, I read your letter. I heard what you said. I'm not sure how you reached that conclusion. It's like you're showing me a bunch of numbers, and then I'm looking at your bottom line, and I'm like, how did you get that total? I don't see how it adds up, basically. Wenn ihr allein schreibt doch. Now, this is classic Rebbe. When the Rebbe argues with somebody's perspective, the way I always have seen it is, at least at first, the Rebbe will prove to you something that you hadn't thought of by using your own information as the main argument. Meaning, instead of the Rebbe coming in saying, hold on a second, you forgot to mention this, you forgot to mention that, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you left off your list of life. No, no, no. The Rebbe comes in and says, I read your letter, and I want to kind of read it back to you, because you yourself are writing. Ihr allein schreibt doch. You yourself are writing, after all. As von der ganzen Mischpache, seinen verblieben nur gezelte, that from your whole family remained only a few. I'm assuming, unfortunately, it's probably most likely that we're talking about Holocaust survivors. This is, after all, 1959. So when the Rebbe says that from your whole family there only remained a few, I'm assuming that means survivors from the Holocaust. Un ihr zwischen ze, and you are among the few survivors. Now, yes, I understand that you could paint that in a negative way and say, you know, my whole family got wiped out except for a few of us. I get that. But glass half empty, glass half full, right? The Rebbe is saying, look, you're telling me that you have nothing but bad luck. If it wouldn't be for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I can't believe that you're thinking that you only have negative things happen to you when you are one of the fortunate few survivors. Like, you told me that most of your family didn't make it and you're from the few survivors. So, you know, I got to kind of point that out to you. Euch schreibt ihr, another thing that you write, wegen verschiedener Fehlerhaftigkeit. That means like problems. Und Machleis, and sicknesses. Was men is a durchgegangen, that you went through. Now, again, I know that you could paint that also negatively and say, look how many problems we went through. Although you could also read it and say, look how many problems we went through. Like, we made it through. We got out of it. We're here. We're still standing. Euch wegen eurer Mannschirche schreibt ihr. And then also, regarding your husband, you write, as man hat sich nicht vorgestellt, that nobody could have imagined. Und er hat getan in den Jahren, and he did stuff, meaning effectively, meaning he succeeded. He did, I don't know what it was, whether it was business or something else, but something that was unlikely. And he pulled it off. Und ihr gefindt sich beide in a dir of a chulu, and you both live in a house. Maybe she mentioned, I mean, clearly she did mention the house, because here the Rebbe is mentioning back to her various things that she mentioned to him. Now, maybe she mentioned the house to say it was too small or had a leaky roof or whatever it might be, but the Rebbe is taking that information and saying it back to her, and you have a house. Don't forget, you have a house too. So, I mean, this is an approach we see often from the Rebbe, which is, I'm not negating your data. And I'm being very, I'm taking a lot of liberties when I say these things. And I am self-conscious about who am I to create a whole shita in how to read the Rebbe's letters. And the answer is, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm just some guy. And you're welcome to do the same as well. The reason I do this is because I want people to learn the Rebbe's letters in a deep way and to internalize it And if you find a better way to do it, be my guest. But I'm going to say some stuff that I'm totally making up. You could agree, you could disagree. It doesn't matter. At least I'm getting you to think. I see how often the Rebbe will refuse to dispute people's data if he can avoid it. Because, and again, I'm being very, I'm taking liberties to make assumptions. But when you debate somebody's data, when you tell them, no, your facts are wrong, it's almost like, okay, so the where do we go from here? It's like there's no common ground. We're not even in the same reality. But I've seen very often where the Rebbe will basically say, your facts are good. They're fine. Your facts are right. In fact, I would like to use your facts as my argument. In fact, for now, I don't even want to bring in my own facts that you may have overlooked. I just want to use the facts that you gave me and present it back to you. And I want to take exception with your conclusion. In other words, I have no quibble with your information, with your data. I'm taking exception to your interpretation of the data, which to me is just from a, just from an educational point of view, so much more powerful. You know, it's like I'm 90% of the way there already. I have the information. I'm just reading it wrong. I'm just interpreting the information incorrectly. And now you're opening my eyes to a new way of looking at it. And it and then it's almost like, yeah, all of this makes sense to me because I'm very familiar with this information. I mean, this is my story. These are my experiences. This is what I told you. Just with a new way of coming to a conclusion, a new perspective. I heard once somebody say an expression that what's a pessimist is an emes cheshbon mit a falsche maskana. Pessimist is somebody who he has correct information, but he comes to an incorrect interpretation. And I think that's what the Rebbe does so often. Okay. All right. I was just given a link. Amazing. There's a link to subscribe to, sorry for the interruption again. I just got the link to subscribe to the WhatsApp and I'm going to put it in the chat. Somebody mentioned in the chat also, by the way, that Mrs. Kalmanson passed away on the Rebbe's birthday. Yud Aleph Nissen, so her Yahrzeit's coming up. That's amazing. Thank you for letting us know that. That's really amazing. Profound. Okay, thank you for that information. Now I'm adding to the chat right now a link to join the WhatsApp group. There you go. And you will, if you're not yet in the 30 letters, 30 days WhatsApp group updates, or what 30 letters, 30 days updates WhatsApp group, you can join it right now, and maybe they'll repost that picture that they just posted. Okay. Yeah, so at any rate, you have all these problems and blah, 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 blah. Hold on a second. You've survived. You've continued. You've made it through so much, and here you are. Your husband has succeeded in something that nobody ever thought could be done, and you have a house, and you have a life. I mean, what are you complaining about? There's so much to be grateful for. Count your blessings. Okay. Now, that itself is a very important lesson, but that's not all that Ebba says. There's much more here. There's much more. Let's continue. Is it ein Kuckendick in dem Alam? So when you look in, meaning if you analyze all of this, was es tutzig, everything that's going on. Und nicht nur äußerlich, not just outwardly, superficially, nor was es tutzig in Haus, what's going on in your private life, meaning in your home, meaning not just the stuff that on paper is visible that everybody knows about your life, but the Rebbe is saying your private life. If you look at it, hayotochen, as the Sachakel is der, was er schreibt. How is it possible that your conclusion is what you wrote? That everything's always been bad, it is bad, it's going to be bad. The Rebbe is saying, I know your life, I know what's going on, and I don't get how you're coming to that conclusion. Now, watch this. Watch this. You know what toxic positivity is? It's a new term. It's a great term. Toxic positivity means somebody's so positive they won't give me permission to express any discomfort. And it's smothering, and it's belittling, and it's dismissive. That's what toxic positivity is. The Rebbe just said, come on, why do you think you have a bad life? You have a good life, and you proved it to me. Is the Rebbe now refusing to allow her to express any discomfort? Is the Rebbe refusing to allow her to express the desire that things should be even better? No, not at all. And that's the beauty of this nuanced approach. I think so many times what we fail at is nuance. And the Rebbe's approach excels at nuance, that two things can be true at the same time. So the Rebbe just said, you have a good life, and you're going to continue having a good life. Now, verstandlich, it's understood, as man darf betten bei Hashem Yisbarach, as es soll sein besser und noch besser. We have to ask Hashem that it should be better and even better. Warum is doch der etzema toiv, because Hashem is the ultimate in goodness. Umeteva ha-toiv lehetiv, it is his very nature to bestow goodness. So I'm not saying you can't ask for things to be even better. Yeah, you can and you should. You should, because things can get better and better and better. That's Hashem's way. Aber man darf euch nicht ignorieren. That's an English word. You shouldn't ignore the chsodim von Hashem Yisbarach, the kindnesses of Hashem, was man hat schein gesehen, that you already saw. In other words, it's okay to ask Hashem for more. But when you do so, you don't have to come to Hashem and say, I never had anything good. Please, Hashem, for once do something kind for me. That's not the way to say it. First of all, it's not even true. He has been kind to you. Come to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm so grateful for the kindnesses that you've done for me. Could you do it even more? as good as besser, nicht besser? Could you do even more? Und befrat, as wir schreibt, as man hat gesehen chsadim gloyim und offene nissim. Especially like you wrote to me, that I was using her information again to argue against her false conclusion. You told me already that you've seen open miracles in your life. So it wouldn't even make sense for you to go to Hashem and say, Hashem, how about you start being nice to me? That's not what to say. First of all, it's not polite, but it's maybe moreover, it's not true. Come to Hashem and be grateful for the goodness, and in your case, open miracles that you've experienced, and ask for more. Ask for even more miracles. Why not? That's fine. Hashem is Atzma Toiv. You could ask him for even more miracles. There's no limit. So you see the beauty of that? One doesn't obviate the other. It's not like, well, once you accept that life is good, now you have surrendered your ability to ever ask for things to be even better. No, it's not so rigid like that. It's not binary where it's either you have acceptance or you can ask Hashem to do good. You can do both. You can have acceptance and gratitude, and at the same time, you can daven and ask Hashem to do more and more good. The two can coexist. And not only they can, they should. That is the way that a Jew looks at life. Okay. Let's continue. Ich will unterstreichen. I want to emphasize. As ich mein nit zu sagen mit dem, as man darf nit reingucken in dem, was man darf. I'm not trying to tell you, so the Rebbe is sort of reiterating the previous point. I'm not trying to tell you that you shouldn't look at what you need. Like, you should ignore your needs. Und mein euch nicht zu sagen, and I also am not saying, as es fällt euch nicht in jenem Ikrim hinau. I'm not saying that you're not lacking some important stuff. See, that's a very important point. It's interesting that Rebbe didn't say that until now. My suspicion is if the Rebbe would have said from the very beginning, you're right, you're lacking some pretty important stuff in life. She wasn't ready to hear that at the beginning because she was already feeling down, and that would have just cemented the whole doom and gloom. But at this point where the Rebbe's lifted her up and the Rebbe's given her permission to ask for things to be even better, now the Rebbe can say to her, and by the way, I do realize that not only you could ask for good to be even better, but yeah, I am aware of some pretty important stuff that Rebbe calls it in Yonim Ikrim that you're missing. I'm not ignorant of that. I understand there's some important stuff in life that you don't have. So I'm not pretending that that's not an issue. It is an issue. Ich will nur betonen das Gute. I just want to emphasize and point out, call your attention to the good. Und gut in der Grace of us, and good in the biggest measure. Was ihr und euer Mann haben gesehen, afilo mit die fleischige Augen, which you and your husband have seen even with the physical eyes, meaning it's not something that you have to go philosophize in order to imagine in the abstract. You've seen things in your life which are overtly Hashem's kindnesses. So that's not taking away your permission to say that you want things to be even better. It's not even taking away your permission to say, there's some pretty important things that I'm missing in life and I'm still asking Hashem to help me with. They can both be true. In other words, it's not like you have to prove that you have an awful life and it's never been good for you in order to have permission to start asking for Hashem to do kindness. That's not what it is. And in fact, what the Rebbe is going to say, we didn't get there yet, we're about to get there, is not only that these two things can go together, what two things? Gratitude and asking Hashem to do more. Not only can those two things go together, but here's the bombshell. One actually complements the other. Boom, how you like that? I mean, it seems like a simple letter, but it's not. It's deep, deep, deep theology over here. So first of all, we said, take a positive outlook on the information. Okay, great. Then we said, by the way, once you do that, it's not like you can't ask Hashem to make things even better. And then we said, in fact, you can even acknowledge areas in your life where you are seriously lacking. It's okay to acknowledge that. And you can acknowledge that and be grateful at the same time. The two are not mutually exclusive. Now that Rebbe is about to say something radical. Not only being grateful and asking Hashem for his kindness can happen at the same time, but being grateful is actually the greatest way to effectively ask Hashem for his kindness. Watch what happens here. It's very deep stuff. Okay. Noch eine Nekuda in dem. Another point. This is what I'm foreshadowing over here. Und welche ist nicht wenige wichtig. And this is not a triviality. This is a pretty important point here. Was erklärt in Teira Seine HaGadeisha, this is explained in our Holy Teira, as die Mos Broches, follow me here, the measure of blessing von HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem, wendet sich in a gewisser Maß, depends to some extent. I love that term, by the way, in a gewisser Maß. Again, nuance. I love nuance. Because the Rebbe is not saying that it's entirely dependent. I didn't finish the sentence yet. Entirely dependent upon what? I didn't say yet. But the Rebbe is not saying that your blessings from Hashem are entirely dependent upon this next thing that the Rebbe is about to say. But to some extent, in a gewisser Maß, to some extent, and perhaps even to a quite significant extent, the measure of blessings that you receive from Hashem are dependent upon, to some extent, dependent upon what? Wie der Mensch nimmt sie auf. the way a person receives it. Unufirung in Einklang mit dem und Anerkennung von der Saden. The way that a person recognizes Hashem's kindnesses. Vergrößert das, that expands, that enlarges, dem Zinur v'hakelim, the pipeline and the vessels of Tzubakumen seine Chsodim ba'osid ha'kodav ba'osid b'chlal, to receive Hashem's kindness in the near and distant future. In other words, follow this. Receiving what you're getting already with gracious gratitude and with thanks, with real sincere thanks. Thank you, Hashem. That not only does it not obviate the ability to ask Hashem to do even more for you, but to the contrary, that itself is an effective way of bringing more blessing. When you thank Hashem for the kindnesses that he's already giving you, and you accept those kindnesses with gratitude, it pulls more of the same into your life. So it's not the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's not, God forbid, you should show Hashem that you're grateful because he might think he's doing an adequate job. Right? Chas v'sholem, if you'll act satisfied with life, Hashem might say, oh, those people don't need any more help. They're good. I'll leave them alone. That's not how it works. Actually, show Hashem how appreciative you are of the kindnesses that he's already bringing into your life. That itself pulls more kindness into your life. How you like that? That's a bombshell. That's a theological bombshell. Okay. For the etzes hayu'utzes to them. Now, one of the solutions for this, right? Because it's easier said than done. Tell me how to do this. Wenn man will bekommen a hisofe in die brachas von Hashem Yisborach. When you want to receive more blessings from God. Guys, clickbait title. Lubavitcher Rebbe's Secrets, How to Receive More Blessings from God. You with me? Nobody's turning it off now. Okay. Is zu ton a teva a zweiten jeden begashmius oder beruchnius. Do someone else, do another Jew a favor. A material favor or a spiritual favor. Un azoi vi in gebens doka gashmius netken sich jedere. Just like everybody needs to give tzedakah, does haste, as yeder hot a meglichkeit in them. Everybody has an opportunity to give tzedakah, meaning it's not just rich people who give tzedakah. Obviously, the philanthropist gets the plaque on the wall, but everyone gives tzedakah. Everybody has an opportunity to give something to someone. As a euch is in tana teva beruchnias. The same thing in spirituality. Everybody is a mashpia. Everybody is a spiritual teacher. Everybody has something to offer of a spiritual nature. Und was mehr man gibt zu in dem, and the more you dedicate yourself to it, is äußere was man is mekayim a tzivir von Torah. Now, first of all, you're doing a mitzvah. It's a command from the Torah. You have to react to kamecha. Rabbi Akiva zogt of them, as es is klal godol b'Torah. Love your fellow as yourself, which Rabbi Akiva says is the main principle of the Torah. So first of all, you're doing what the Torah commands you to do. Und was das geht zu in die Broches von Hashem Yisborach, kommt da euch zu der Sipuk Nafshi, was man zet pri Toiv ba'amolei, und was das wirkt direkt und undirekt zum gesund
Besserung und auf der Abschätzung Haschkoffer von dem allem, was es wert getan in sich und arum sich.
So this kindness that you're doing for others, it increases. The more you do it, it's scalable, in other words. It increases the satisfaction that you get from seeing the fruits of your labor. And that has an effect, both direct and indirect, on the improvement of your health and your perspective of everything going on in your life and around you. In other words, positivity breeds positivity. You have a good outlook on life. You see blessings. You're going to get more blessings. The rich get richer. We know this. Okay, so then how do I get a positive attitude? Because I'm caught in a vicious cycle right now. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. When I have a scarcity mentality and I feel like I don't have a good life, so you know what? The Rebbe doesn't speak negative. The Rebbe only speaks positive, but Michal Hein Shemei Alav. When I'm feeling like things are no good, actually I'm chasing away my blessings, God forbid. So I get caught in a vicious cycle because then it gets worse and then I feel worse and then it gets worse. How do I break out of that? So here's the secret. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, start helping people. First of all, when you help people, you're doing a mitzvah. So right there has infinite value. But also, and don't say, who am I to help people? Because everyone can give tzedakah. Materially and spiritually. Start helping people. And when you start helping people, you're going to feel good. You're going to see the effect you're having, direct and indirect. And when you start feeling good about how you're helping people, you're going to start saying, life is not so bad. The world is a nice place. And when you start feeling like the world is a nice place, it will actually objectively become even nicer of a place for you, because that good attitude will bring down more blessings. That's the trick. And it's not a trick. It's not like a life hack. It's just a truth. Not a trick. It's a truth. Okay. Let's continue here. V'yirotzein, erzolt, onzogin gutte besuris b'chol anal. May it be Hashem's will that you should inform me of good news about the above. Men hot gedarf beidig sein die Tfillen von eurem Mann und euch die Mezuzas bei euch in dira. You should check your husband's Tfillen and also the Mezuzas in your house. Und ihr sollt abhitten dem guten Minug von Bnei Yisrael. You should also keep the good custom that Jewish women have to geben auf tzedakah jeder mol far lichtzinden erev Shabbos und erev Yom Tov. You should give tzedakah before you light Shabbos and Yom Tov candles. Bevracha, with blessing. B'shem Kvei Kedushas Admir Shlita Mazkir, signed by the Rebbe's secretary. Another amazing letter. Another absolute treasure that each one of us can start applying in our lives right now, this moment. Really grateful to be here. Thank you for learning with me. And we'll see you tomorrow night for letter number 11.